Today, of course, the last day of the work week for a lot of people. Some folks have Monday off because it's President's Day. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to check in with author Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About, in this case, The American Presidents. And Mr. Davis, great to have you on the line this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, and happy real Abraham Lincoln's birthday today.
Go.
A lot of people are still confused about what we're actually celebrating on Monday. Officially speaking, it is not President's Day, but George Washington's birthday. So Abraham Lincoln's actual birthday is today, and curiously, never been a national holiday of its own.
Your coverage, your books, do they focus on one president or another, or do you take a look at a whole lot of them?
Well, let me explain a little bit very quickly. Most people know me for a book that was published quite a while ago called Don't Know Much About History. It's still out and available. It's been revised many times over 25 years. That started a whole series of Don't Know Much About books, which you can see at don'tknowmuch.com. And these are books that's supposed to make history, which a lot of us hate because it was dull and boring and filled with facts and dates rather than real people. It makes history alive, fun, meaningful, and answers some simple questions. So Don't Know Much About History started it off. Don't Know Much About the American Presidents was published a few years ago, and it is a complete history of every one of the 43 men who served as president, as well as a history of why we even have a president. Of course, this is an American creation. Started in the Constitution of 1787, of course, George Washington became the first in 1789, the only election, by the way, to fall in an odd year.
Let's talk about that election. What was the mechanism? Were people aware, here's an election, this is what we have to do? How did they put that in place?
It's a great question, and we're so accustomed, and we're watching it go on right now, this obsessive, more than a year-long presidential campaign. In Washington's case, of course, there was no campaign. There were no political candidates. There were no primaries. There were no caucuses. There weren't even parties at the time. When the men who wrote the Constitution sat there in secret in Philadelphia in 1787, George Washington was sitting in the front of the room, somewhat quietly. He didn't speak officially, but everyone knew when they were talking about who was going to be what the president was going to be, that the first one was going to be George Washington. Benjamin Franklin even says, we know who the first man at the helm will be. After that, who knows? He was a little concerned that they were on their way to an elected monarchy. But the first presidential election was given over to the states to determine how to do it. Only 10 of the first 13 states actually took part in the first presidential election. Two states had not ratified the Constitution, so they couldn't send electors to officially make a decision. And New York State somehow missed the deadline. So curious that Washington won unanimously but was missing three of the states. And, of course, 4 years later, he was reelected unanimously. Under those terms, in that day, the first place finisher in the Electoral College was president, and the second place finisher became, and that word Electoral College is an invention that's not in the Constitution, the second place finisher became vice president, and that's how John Adams became Washington's vice president.
We're talking today with author Kenneth C. Davis, and we're talking about President's Day, in particular George Washington. Ken, did he have any serious competition?
Not really. As I said, Franklin and most of the other men sitting in that convention knew that Washington was going to be president. There's the old kind of story that he didn't want to be president and he was, reluctant. That's kind of a myth. We don't need to burnish Washington's career and legend with that. He knew as he was sitting there presiding over the Constitutional Convention that he was going to be the one. There was really no other man who could have commanded the country's respect and attention in a time when there was no political party and there were no campaigns. So Washington's bags were pretty much packed by the time that they told him that he was going to be the president. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion. But, of course, he had to invent the presidency then. And, by the way, we're talking about Monday being a holiday, and many people do call it President's Day, whether you use an apostrophe or not. But technically speaking, it is still George Washington's birthday that we celebrate on Monday. And that's because Washington birthday used to be a federal holiday, a national holiday, and was changed from February 22nd, the actual date, to the third Monday in February, which curiously can never fall on the 22nd. It always has to be before the 21st. So it's still George Washington's birthday officially. And as I mentioned first, we never celebrated Lincoln's birthday as a national holiday. Many states did. Fewer do now, which is kind of surprising to me that we've kind of, diminished Lincoln as I believe the greatest president in our history.
Anything that maybe the typical person doesn't know about George Washington that you think we ought to know?
Well, I think, first of all, for those who are still laboring under that cherry tree story, that was a piece of fiction created after Washington's death, and there's nothing to suggest that it ever happened. Washington's father died when he was 11 years old. He had one mention of him in his diaries or letters. He said he remembered his father as a tall, kindly man, and that was about it. We don't really know what their relationship was like, and we certainly don't. We know that there was no incident with an axe and a cherry tree. I think a lot of people would be surprised. They think of him as the great general. To learn about his disastrous experience in the wilderness near Pittsburgh when he was 22 years old and leading men in on a combat mission, a military mission for the first time. It ended up in a disaster. Some Frenchmen were killed, and that was really the spark that set off what became known as the Seven Years' War or the French and Indian War in America. Washington had to surrender to an enemy for the first and only time in his career when he was 22 years old, ironically on July 4th, 1754.
Kenneth C. Davis is our guest today, and we're talking about presidents, George Washington in particular. Do you know the particulars as to how our nation's capital became to be Washington, D.C.?
Well, that's an interesting one, too, because Washington was very, very much involved with the planning and the laying out of the grid of what would become Washington, D.C. And at the time, it was going to be called the Federal City. There was no, and it was really right after his death that by acclamation, almost. It was determined that the new federal city would be called Washington, D.C., which of course stands for District of Columbia, and curious because for most of American history, Washington, D.C. residents had no vote in the presidency. It was only in the 1960s that an amendment was passed that gave Washington, D.C.'s residents a vote in the presidential election.
Well, again, as you say, George, we celebrate George Washington's birthday on Monday in particular, but a lot of people want to know more about American presidents, and you make it a little more fun, I would imagine, than a lot of folks do. How can people find out more about your book series, or where can they go for more info?
Well, the easiest way to find out about me and my books is don'tknowmuch.com. It's a website where I post bits and pieces about American history, and you can find out more about the books there. Very much important to the Washington story is a book that will be not yet published but coming next year called In the Shadow of Liberty. And in this book, I really just talk about the role of the enslaved people that were owned by presidents, including two slaves that Washington owned and his relationship with them. That's another part of the hidden history that we often leave out, and it's an important part that we need to understand. So you can learn more about all of my books at don'tknowmuch.com and look for In the Shadow of Liberty next year.
We look forward to that one and maybe a follow-up conversation in the coming year about that book in particular.
Great. Thanks so much, and enjoy President's Day, and remember Abraham Lincoln was born today, our greatest president. Thank you.
You're welcome. Will do. Kenneth C. Davis, the author of Don't Know Much About, right here on AM 930.